message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Point. And it's a series, a topic on love, dating, and marriage. But tonight I'll just coin it excelling in relationship and marriage. Excelling in relationship and marriage. Excelling in relationship and marriage. Everybody wants to be in one relationship, or we all are in one relationship or the other. Or we want to be in one relationship or the other. It's either we intend to have one later, or we are presently in one. And every relationship, whatever relationship you are, defines destiny. A man's relationship defines his destiny. Some people will ask how, but the relationship you are in, you know, defines you as an individual. In Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." Before I go further, the Bible says, "And blessed is that man who does what? Who standeth not, and then who walketh not, and who sitteth not." All those walking not, sitting not, and standing not, it boils down to relationship. It boils down to who you associate with. Your relationship determines your end in life. Your relationship determines your end in life. In 1 Samuel chapter 25 verse 3. The Bible introduced 1 Samuel chapter 25 verse 3. The Bible was introducing a woman called Abigail. And that woman is just for us to emphasize. I'm trying to emphasize for us to know that truly your relationship determines your relationship determines you, where you end up. It defines you as an individual. This woman called Abigail, the Bible introduced her newly in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel Abigail, he says, a woman of good understanding. 1 Samuel 25. Yes. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. If you read further, and of a beautiful countenance. The Bible introduced that woman of as a what? Good understanding. A woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But, there was a but. But the man was, she got married to a man who was Kolish. And she got married, ended up in the house of a man called Nabal. And I'm wondering, how can a woman that has good understanding and beautiful countenance end up to marry a man called Nabal? If you read further down in verse 25 of that chapter, Nabal meant folly, means foolishness. You know, a woman of good understanding and beautiful countenance found herself to marry Mr. Foolish. Automatically, she becomes Mrs. Foolish. Praise the Lord. What am I trying to say? Your relationship defines you. So mind the relationship you are in. Mind your relationship. You are in marriage. In life, it's either you have a near heaven experience of marriage or a near hell encounter of marriage. But may you not have a near hell encounter of marriage in Jesus' name. May you have a near heaven of marriage in the name of Jesus. May you have enviable marriages in the name of Jesus. Quickly, keys to excelling in marriage or in relationship. I'll just quickly highlight some keys. There are a lot of keys, but just pick some. Keys in excelling in marriage. And number one key is the God factor. The God factor. John 15 verse 5 says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Without me, ye can do nothing. In other words, without God, there is no successful relationship. Without God, there is no successful marriage. There is nothing that can be successful without involving God. The success of any relationship, dating, marriage, is what? God. When God is the center, God is the originator in the first place. So if God is the center of that, if you involve him, then there is success in it. The center, because God himself is love. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." In other words, God himself is love. If you think you love, you must know God. You can't claim to love if you don't know God. You cannot love me or love you. Someone can't love you completely if he or she does not know God. Because God himself is the definition of love. So if somebody is saying, I love you, that word is deep. Does that person know God? Does that person know God? God is the center. That God factor cannot be removed. When you remove God from any relationship, that relationship will be a disaster. May your relationship not be a disaster. In the name of Jesus. May your relationship not be a disaster. You know, love nowadays is coined something else. You know, for singles, a guy can just walk up and say, if you truly love me, you would give me your body. You won't say it directly sometimes, but if you truly love me, you sleep with me. If you truly love me, you prove it. That's the word. They say sometimes they tell you, prove it that you really love me. You know, a lady came to meet me some months ago and said that she's been pressured by a particular her boyfriend to, you know, give in. And I said, is the guy a born again Christian? She said, yes, he is. I said, if truly is a born again Christian, and you are a born again Christian, he won't pressure you of sex in any way. He doesn't love you. Jack out from that relationship, or else you are playing with fire. Praise the Lord. Any guy that measures sex as love is not in love with you. That is simple. Any guy that measures love, if somebody loves God, that is when he can truly love you. And if he claims he loves you, then sometimes in the attitude he will show it. There was a man called Joseph in the book of Genesis. That man loved God so much, he desisted from fornication. Why? Because he loved God. Not because he didn't want to. He's also flesh. He has blood running through him. He could have been tempted. He was tempted, I'm very sure. But the Bible didn't give us details. But for him to run, it means he was tempted. Why didn't he say and said, I can stand, I can resist, madam? But no, he didn't do it, because he knew that this thing, if I don't run away from this house completely, I will find my mommy, something wrong with me. Praise the Lord. So a man that claims to love you must first love God. For singles, love is not sex. That is it. You know, we are in a deteriorating generation that everybody feels sex is, you know, in thing. If you're in a relationship and you don't have sex, they feel you are odd. It shouldn't be. Any relationship that is founded on that foundation is not founded on love. Because love itself, God himself is love. You know, any guy that says, if you don't sleep with me, then you don't prove that you love me. It's just like a Volkswagen. Tell him to park his car and go. Your own Lamborghini is coming. That's it. Praise the Lord. So for singles, ensure that nobody tells you that prove to me that you love me. How else do you want me to prove it to you? Am I a lab technician that will prove it? Praise the Lord. The Lord will help us more in Jesus' name. Say, the Lord will help us more in Jesus' name. And as a lady who says you shouldn't get married as a virgin. Some people will tell you virginity doesn't reign anymore. It's not in thing. It's not in vogue anymore. Who said that? Virginity is in vogue. If you have lost your virginity before, fine. But must you keep losing it? If you must you keep losing it, stay away from sexual immorality. That's it. It's an object, somebody that tells you God factor, God in that relationship. The Bible says our body is the temple of the Lord. So if God dwells in your body, how then can you, one thing, if you lie, it's not for your body, it's with your mouth. If you steal, it's with your hands. If you do so many other things, it's or somebody's property that you took. That's the sin that you commit with your body. The whole inside of your body is sexual sin. And can God abide in that place there, and you are doing that thing right there without being married? It's not. It's either God jacks out for you to do it, or there's no, the two can't blend. Tell your neighbor the two can't blend. And for married too, I'm going to be mixing both married and singles. For married too, many men, some women, but many men find it easy to do adultery. There is nothing you are looking for in another lady that your wife doesn't have. There is nothing. If you desire, Pastor Moshebi once said something during our workers training. Then he said, when he used to work in Kwara, in a polytechnic as a university, as a lecturer then, that if he sees an hairstyle on a particular lady and he loves it, oh, he will copy, he will tell his wife, go and make this one. So that you know, anything you desire in any lady outside, that you feel will be nice on your wife. There's nothing bad in taking the picture of that, showing it to your wife and say, honey, can you make this and look a little bit like this. I love this hairdo. There is nothing that lady has that your wife does not have. So desist from it. Any man that commits adultery, it's in the Bible, it's adultery does not leave you the same. It takes away. Yoruba meaning of adultery is agbaere. 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 It means virtue taker. Virtue remover. He removes virtue from you. Some people you may not be able to, you cannot measure it physically, but what it has removed spiritually, you can't imagine it. May your glory not be removed. I say may your glory not be removed. For any married man here, please, it removes virtue. It takes away dignity, honor, pride. So please maintain. When you fear God, not because when you see a lady that is tempting you, temptations will come. It's not a thing for temptations to come. I do get tempted in some areas, not in sexual areas, so don't count me wrong. I do get tempted in some areas, but falling for that temptation, right then, have been tempted at that point, it's not a sin. Jesus was tempted. He was tempted immediately. He did biri 40 days. Immediately. No matter the anointing, you'll be tempted. But falling for that temptation is where the sin comes. So you will always see ladies that are more pretty, that are prettier than your wife. You will always see them. You will always see men that are more handsome than their husband, than your husband. You will always see. But you have to make up your mind. The fact that you fear God keeps you away from the sin. Joseph said, he said this thing, I can't sin, I can't do this thing and sin against God. Not because he can't sin against his ogre. No, I can't do that and sin. It was God that he feared. When you fear God in your home, you won't just want to hurt your wife. No, you will not want to hurt God first. Praise the Lord. The God factor in any relationship is the foundation. Once your spouse fears God, ladies, don't marry someone that doesn't fear God. Guys, don't marry someone that doesn't fear God. Please, that's the bedrock of any criteria you might have for your spouse that you want to have. Any man or woman that does not fear God is a no consideration. Tell your neighbor it's a no. It's a no. So please, fear God. It is the key thing. It's the key thing. Praise the Lord. Number two, the you factor. Number one is the God factor. Number two is the you factor. You. That's like self-esteem. Self-esteem factor. Apart from the God factor, one major thing that can also cause you to excel in your relationship and your married life is what? Self-esteem. Self-esteem. Sometimes you see a lady overdress. Not because she has the money to overdress. She's covering up self-esteem. Yes. And you see sometimes you see a guy come with his father's car. He told him to go and wash it in the car wash. He will bring it. He used it to post. Not because of anything. It is self-esteem that he's lacking from. Brethren, self-esteem is key for you to have a good marriage or a good relationship. Praise the Lord. You know, a man, you know, nowadays, the world, the way the world is going, you know, when the family is being attacked, if you notice the rate of divorce, then it wasn't as much as this. Now you will see people get married in November, January, they said it's over, bloody over, that's it, and then that's all, they are gone. Praise the Lord. It is just like you'll be wondering, just like that. But one thing is, self as married, let's learn something. Raise your children, build them up with good self-esteem. Well, if you look at African setting, most men, most fathers don't tell their daughters, "I love you." The family is where it should start from. I love you. I care about you. I'll stand with you. Come rain, come shine. Those beautiful words should start right from the family. But when it is un-African, it is un-Nigerian to hear a father tell the daughter, "I love you," or a warm hug and a kiss. It's un-African. But if you know that now, in raising your own children, don't make that mistake. Because when that girl grows up, and one guy tells her, "I love you," she goes back home and reminisces on those words. Why? Because those words are powerful. She goes back, she reminisces. The following day, the guy comes back with a deadlier comment and says, "Wow, you look awesome." And then from there, she no matter, "Oh, thank you. I already know." It's not pride, it's self-esteem. But that's the difference. Self-esteem kills the relationship. That's why you see a lady. Sometimes I was counseling a lady and she told me, when she gave me all the situation around the relationship, I said, "Quit this relationship." She said, "Mama, where do I start from?" I said, "No, start from where you are. You are a pretty lady. You have a whole lot of..." But, you know, self-esteem makes you... How do you build your self-esteem? Words. Draw your esteem from the Word of God. When you are somebody that reads the Word, what does the Word of God say? For example, about a lady, it says, "You are like a cornerstone, polished after the similitude of a palace. You are the apple of God's eye. You are a royal priesthood." When you understand some things about yourself biblically, it builds your self-esteem. It is difficult for some guy to come and tell you, and as married, you'll be surprised that sometimes a married man will be calling his wife and say, maybe the wife has told him, "I love you." He said, "Same here." What is same here? Say it back. "I love you. I love you too. You are married." But when those words can't come, even with from your own husband and wife, if you ask a man, when last he told his wife, "I love you," sincerely, I'm telling you, some will tell you, when he was in the bedroom. It shouldn't be. But on the normal ground, let those words come. When your husband is looking powerful, say, "Wow, you look like a new groom. See your tie." When he keeps saying that, when he dresses, when he goes out, 1 second will not say, "Oh, God, you're looking very..." He has already gotten a better accreditation from the madam in the house. Praise the Lord. When your wife is looking powerful, tell her. If she's not looking so nice, let her know. Say, but don't tell her in a very wrong way. You understand? Why did you not put your skirt like this? Why is it coming out like this? Abba. This is correct. And I would have preferred it if you wore this on this, and you know, commend her so that when somebody else sees it outside, it won't be strange to her, because somebody, the owner, has already accredited her in the house. Praise the Lord. Self-esteem can destroy or build any relationship. Praise the Lord. Many ladies cover up themselves. They build their self-esteem on material things. Many ladies do that, build their self-esteem on the material things. Don't do that as a single lady. And as a guy, don't build your self-esteem on the number of ladies that you have finished or you have slept with. Praise the Lord. A guy that builds his self-esteem, you see some funny guys counting the number of girls they slept with as a thing of pride. Any guy that builds his self-esteem on sleeping around with ladies is a low-class, mentally deranged human being. Yes. Because your self-esteem should not be built on the number of ladies. The ladies you think you have finished is the number of virtues you have destroyed, you have taken away from yourself. When you put a diamond as a whole on the table, it glitters. But when you scatter that diamond, you break it into pieces, put it back as you have broken it. The luster, the shiny thing, you can never have it. It is gone. That's how it is. Don't build your self-esteem on sleeping around. As a guy, or you may not be able to measure virginity for a guy, but do you know how much virtue has been taken away from you? May the Lord help us tonight. I said, may the Lord help us tonight. That amen is not sounding very powerful again. If my words hit you too hard, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Quickly let me tell you the implications of premarital sex / adultery. Implications of premarital sex or adultery. Number one, it clouds your judgment and compatibility for marriage. Once you're giving yourself into that relationship, once you've sold yourself, that guy has slept with you once, you now feel as a lady that he has kukuma seen my body, let me kukuma give him, let me kukuma manage him till we get he marries me. I heard lately of a lady calling a guy and says, "Will you be my val?" And I was wondering, was the lady joking or was it for real? He's stooping low and saying, "Will you be my val?" What for? Praise the Lord. But sometimes when a lady has soon have something, she feels, "Let me keep managing him till he considers me for marriage." It clouds your sense of judgment. That's what premarital sex does to you. Number two, bring spiritual curse. Number three, shame and dishonor. Proverbs chapter 5 verse 8 to 9, because of time you can go and read on our own. No matter how great a man is, premarital sex or adultery does not leave you the same. It removes from you every now and then. May the Lord help us more in Jesus' name. You know, build your self-esteem. That's the main thing on this point. Build your self-esteem, you know, and it will help you to enjoy your relationship and marriage in life. If you're valued, you know, there's this place in 1 Samuel where David was, where David was asked by Saul to get bride price for Michal and for Michal. And the bride price that was given to him was 100 foreskins. So go and get 100 foreskins. And David went, came back with 200 foreskins. Foreskins is not as if it's easy. It's human beings, the kingdom, and brought their foreskins. They asked him to bring 100. He brought 200. He was so sure of himself in marrying Michal. He was so sure of himself. You know something? If I must ask a candid question, if your bride price were to be paid, deep down, ask yourself, am I worth double of that bride price? Because that's a genuine question. Am I worth double of that bride price? Perhaps they wrote 70 yams for some people. If the man knew what kind of person he's marrying, maybe it's one potato he will send to the family. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So please ensure that your self-esteem is intact. One major key as a lady of ensuring your self-esteem is intact: don't sleep around. If you have been doing that before, now stop it. That last time you did it should be the last time it will ever happen. Okay? And the Lord will help us more in Jesus' name. The Lord will help us more in Jesus. Number three, accountability. Accountability in relationship and marriage helps you to excel. Accountability. If married, your spouse, your husband, your wife is your accountable partner. If you are not married, look for somebody who is a Christian, a godly person, a spiritual leader or in a position of authority that you can trust and that can tell you to your face when you do something right or when you do something wrong. When you are in a relationship, that's why it's in impact, because when you are in a relationship, it is advisable. Let your leader, your HOD or your cell leader or somebody in a position of authority in church know that you are in a relationship. Okay? It is accountability. Okay? That accountability helps you to keep right. It helps you to stay right. It keeps you away from sin, because it keeps you, and it helps you to maintain the right path. If in James chapter 5 verse 6, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, in other words, that ye may be healed. Confess your faults in that area means be accountable. That's like accountability. So if you're in a relationship and your leaders don't know yet, between now and Sunday, quickly let your leaders know. If it is not a relationship that should be known, then it is not a relationship that you should be in the first place. Any hidden relationship is not worth it. It should be erased, deleted immediately. In Mark chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible described how Jesus chose his 12 disciples. Mark 3, 14. The Bible says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him. He ordained the 12 that they should be with him. Jesus, we know, as Jesus as he was, or as Jesus was, he still is. Praise the Lord. He didn't deliberately pick ladies to be with him as his disciples. He picked men to be with him. So they were somehow around him, watching over, not because of anything, but you know, you'll have said, I'm the Lord, I can pick a lady. And you know something, the higher the anointing, the higher people follow you, especially ladies. Yes, especially ladies, the more the anointing. You can imagine the number of ladies that followed Jesus in his days. A lot of them followed Jesus, a lot of them. That one even touched the hem of his garment and drew virtue. So for him to know, for him to perceive that something had drawn out of him, be mindful of those who touch you. Be mindful of those who touch you. Accountability is key. It helps you stay on track. Tell your neighbor, accountability is key. You know, number four, love. Number four key is love. Love is a key point for marriage or relationship to excel. Love, you know, in relationship, in marriage, love is not an option. Love is an obligation. You can't wake up in marriage and say, I don't love you. I just don't love you. It's not possible. It's not even allowed. Why? Because love is not an option in marriage. Love is a commandment. The Bible says, husbands, love your wife. I was attending to the workers training class. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. And I was asking those people in the workers class. He said, how did God ask the husbands to love their wives? He said, just like Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself for the church. And I asked the guys, can you give yourself for your wife? Every one of them, except for one, said, no, lie, no. Like, praise the Lord. Husbands, love your wife. It's a commandment. That's how the Bible, it's not an option for you. Husbands, love your wife. So husbands, love, how does Christ want you to love her? Sacrificially. Giving up all. Giving it all. The kind of all there is not the physical death that you would, you understand, but giving all, your time, yourself, let nothing be hidden. A man that truly loves his wife as a married man would not be begged to pay the children's school fees, would not be begged to pay house rent. That man will not be begged to drop soup money because it is your responsibility. If you love, you must do it. Why? Masculinity is responsibility. That is it. If you cannot be responsible, don't marry in the first place. Praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is, a man that truly loves his wife will show it. You can't separate love and giving. You can't. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. God could have shown his love to mankind without necessarily allowing Jesus to die that terrible death. He could have. He could have even allowed Jesus to sleep in the night and not wake up. That's a peaceful death. But he died in a very terrible way. Roman stripes. Do you know how horrible the death was? The koboko was driven inside him that had blade drawn out from his flesh. 39 strips just for you and I. And on top, even the people he was dying for were mocking him, were making jest. That, we didn't deserve it, yet he died for us. That is real love. That is the kind of love God wants us to emulate into our homes and our families. A love that doesn't hold back. If you are married here, love your wife unconditionally. There is no condition. Whether you married her figure 8, now she gave you 3, she's now figure 10 or figure 12. Keep loving her that way. Praise the Lord. And if you desire any hairdo, any, put your money in, put your hand in your purse and give her the money to make whatever look you desire from her to do, to be. Praise the Lord. So love is responsibility. And as a single person, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it tells a whole lot about love there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where I'm thinking from verse 4. Love is patient. Love is not self-conceited. Love does not take advantage of the other person. If you love me, I don't need to show it. Don't tell me to show it. I don't need to show it. I don't need to prove it with my body. That love is what self-conceited. It's a selfish love. That's not the kind of love the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is talking about. Love, if you truly love that person, love is patient. Love is patient. If you are a guy, if that guy loves you, he will wait. And if that lady loves you, she would also what? She will wait. She will not be too hasty. Materialistic lady. Don't, you know, some guys form to pretend to be what they are not so that they can attract the guy. You don't need to be form for whatever, anything. Let the lady know your true state. She let her accept you the way you are. That's love. Many ladies nowadays are materialistic. Don't marry a guy because of what he drives. Marry him because of what drives him. Don't marry a guy because of the car he drives. That car may not even be his. It may be his father's. It may be, they go and wash it in the car wash. Go and bring, take it to the mechanic, and then he sees you, he scopes, you think it is his own. Praise the Lord. His father has 3. They gave him 1. Did he buy it with his own money? Praise the Lord. So please, love is patience. That guy that you use your eye to call from head to toe, he may not be where you want him to be now, But in as much as he has a vision and he's moving towards it, he's moving towards it step by step, he will get there. Praise the Lord. So love is patient. For the ladies, love is patient. Jacob worked for Rachel for 14 years. To have, if I ask any guy now, can you work for a guy, a lady for 14 years? For 14 years, oh, she worked for 7 years. They gave him the wrong lady. I think that was not cruel enough. Do another 7 years more. If it will be some of our men, they will say, Laye. They will go, leave the wife there, or get a lawyer and sue, or do for something funny. But because of the love the man had, he did it. Yes, some people even kidnap. Like Boko Haram and go away. Praise the Lord. But he worked, that was love, 14 years just for a lady. So why are you in a hurry? And this was a great man. You cannot say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and not mention Jacob. That was a great man. May you be great. Amen. Number five, value. Value is something that adding value in a relationship is essential. It's essential for you to be able to excel in that relationship. Value adding. In marriage, add value. In relationship, add value. When you are dating somebody, watch it. You started dating somebody from January, and by December, you assess yourself. Spiritually, you have drawn back. Emotionally, you are not okay. Physically, they always ask you what is wrong with you. Financially, you are not on point. They don't need to tell you. Just circle it. There are some relationships that are not value adding. They are parasitic relationships. Jerk out from such relationships. Until Lot gave way, parted with Abraham, God did not speak. God did not give Abraham a clearer direction. It was when he parted, and then God said, look, Abraham, look towards your left, your right, and possess the entire place. He couldn't have had the authority to possess because he was still adding a luggage that should have been dropped. There are some weights we need to drop as relationships. There are some people we need to have dropped. If you don't drop them in time, you are wasting your time. If you don't, it's a fact. Any relationship that does not add value to you, please delete. Delete from your phone physically. Delete from your memory spiritually. Praise the Lord. Value adding is essential. And as married, you can't delete your husband anymore. Neither can you delete your wife. But you have to keep what? Adding value. Keep doing what? Adding value. The gun at those days when it is only the man that works. A lady too must add value. Physically, add value. Any woman that waits for the husband to pay everything, including buying sanitary towel, is a colossal disgrace. A monumental loss to womanhood. Praise the Lord. Because you must add value, no matter how small. Add value. Spiritually, add value. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 verse 1, a wise woman builds her home. A wise woman builds. Gone are those days. Even in those days, it's not biblical. It's not. The Bible says a wise woman builds. Builds. That building is in terms of value. Look at the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31. It tells you a whole lot. Build. Add value. As a woman, add value. As a husband, add value. In your relationship, add value. Value in relationship. Mind you, in relationships, if you are not yet married, sister, you are not, or brother, you are not financially obliged to that sister yet. Paying your school fees, paying your house rent, paying your mother's shop rent that has expired since 2 years ago, he's not obliged to. If he wants to pay your school fees, decline it. I said it. Decline it. You know why? It takes some self-esteem away from you. Let him get married to you. Then he has the all right to do it. If he borrows you for one challenge or the other, ensure you return it. That's a different level. But when a guy pays your school fees, to him it's an investment. The day you now decide, or maybe you now open your eyes, you now say, the Lord told me that it is the blue brother that I've been seeing in church, that I've been wearing blue shirt and white tie, that God said I should go with. He will ask him what happened to the initial investment that he has been doing. For him, that investment is an investment of a lifetime. Whereas, you are taking it casually. So, sisters, be mindful. When a brother gives you a gift that is too expensive, don't take it. Too expensive. Somebody buys you a car and you are wondering, unless on somebody will say, hey, mama, car. Yes. If, you know, there are some things that it boosts you. If you wait, let's save those gifts. There are some gifts you can accept. But because of our time, you know what I'm saying as ladies. But some of our ladies nowadays, they say, ah, especially when you're not even interested in the guy. Say, oh, Shebi, did I force him to give me? Ah, Asha did not force him to give me. Yeah, I sat down. Yeah, he sent something to my account. You don't even come and give testimony. Say, I want to appreciate God. People are laughing. Praise the Lord. Please desist from such if you have been in one. But I want to believe everyone that has come in here is not for those kind of alerts. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. I said the Lord help us in Jesus' name. What number am I now? Number 6, communication. Communication is 85% in marriage. Any marriage that lacks communication cannot thrive. Any relationship that lacks communication cannot thrive. You know, nowadays I see some people in relationships that you don't want to... Communication is like the bedrock of every relationship. Communicate, get to know, talk about each other's likes, dislikes. Be more involved in communication such that you know each other well. I was speaking to some women 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. I needed an information. So I went to ask a woman. I said, do you know your husband's phone number offhand? She said, I said, I went to another woman again. I said, give me your husband's phone number offhand. And I said, this is not good. If there's anybody's phone number, it's your husband or your wife, you should know it offhand. Why? Because that's the number you regularly call. It's the number you regularly call. For me, it's a stain on communication. Because if it's a number you regularly call, somehow, there are some numbers you should know offhand. I was smacking one of my children that, you know, I went late to pick my children from school. So then they said, mommy, you came late. I said, I'm sorry. And they were trying to call you. We called daddy's number. Daddy was not picking. I said, maybe he was praying. But why didn't you tell them to call my number? He said, I don't know your number. I said, it's a shame on you. That day I gave it to them. We are start cramming it. This is my number. Start cramming it. What if you did it for any reason and you need to call your mom? You just don't know. Praise the Lord. So if you don't know your husband's phone number, you are a married woman here. Yeah. Husband, you don't know your wife's phone number. Please, after tonight, go and use it, put it under your pillow and start. It's a prayer point. 080339. So keep saying it. Praise the Lord. It is essential. It's communication. There are some little basic things that you should know. Know every little thing you can gather. You know, a time of courtship, a time of dating relationship, it's a time to know each other. Not a time to explore each other's body. It's a time to know more about that person. So for example, someone like me, when my husband does like this, I understand. When he does like this, I understand. Sometimes before the protocol gets it, I already understand. It's communication. Communication, marriage is 85%. In fact, if communication is bad in marriage, it affects everything. It affects the money, it affects food, it affects sex. Because if you have not been communicating well with your husband or with your wife, and the man does not want to take or he does not like amala, he doesn't like jollof rice, you now prepare jollof rice in the evening. He comes back, he looks at what you have prepared, you just hiss. And then he goes to bed. You think this man is beefing? He's not beefing you. You have not known him well to understand that communication is also about understanding your spouse. Some people comment, if you ask, 80% of relationships, broken relationships sometimes, many of them is communication problem. If you understand that man very well, you will know when to ask him for money. When you understand that lady very well, you will know when not to touch her. You will know when to help her. You will know so many, it's communication. For example, if a man wants to have sex with his wife now, it's not you cannot communicate 5 minutes before then and say, oh yeah. When you say you're a dog or you're an animal or you're not even a prostitute now. It's a prostitute. They will say, how much? We'll go inside and come. It's for prostitutes. But a married man that must have sex with his wife must have started the communication since morning. Yes. In the morning, just pick up your phone and say, ha, honey, I just love the way you dress this morning. It was wow. And then she smiles and says, okay. Call the beginner at 12 and say, wow, he didn't even miss me. Oh, I miss you. Okay. What should I buy for you? Say, okay, juice and ice cream. Say, I'll do that for you. At 2 o'clock, you call again. Say, hey, honey, what do you think is that? That's it. By evening, you call and say, hey, I'm coming home. What do you think I should get for you? I'm in front of a suya man, and the suya is so fresh. Say, please let me buy. Turkey or gizzard? You put small gizzard, put turkey. Okay, when he gets home, immediately you give him a warm hug. So if in the evening, at night, he says, oh, yeah, it will not become an hypertension for you. He will have it because he has wet the ground. Yes. Praise the Lord. This is for the marriage. I repeat. The Lord help us all in Jesus' name. Communication affects everything. And you know, lastly on communication, let's open our Bibles. This is for the married now. In 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's read together. 1 Peter chapter 3. And this very aspect is very important to all married women, especially. He says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word. Did you see that? If any obey not the word. In other words, if you have a spouse as a wife, your husband is not obedient to the word of God. Your husband is not so loving. Your husband is not so complying. You understand? Your husband is not so okay. If any obey not the word, they also may without the word. In other words, without hearing the word of God, they can be won. How? By the conversation of the wives. That means your communication as a wife is very essential. You can win over your husband by the communication of your wives. I mean, you can win over by the way you communicate. Let's move to the next verse, verse 2. Verse 2, quickly. While they behold your chief conversation, coupled with what? With fear. Wives, if you have an unbelieving husband or an husband that is not on point spiritually, having preached, brought him to church, is not willing, one way, according to the word of God here, is what? You can win him over by your conversation. I've had testimonies of some people like that they married some funny people, funny human beings. But those men, husband, yielded back to the Lord because of their wife's conversation and what? The way they behaved to such husbands. I watched a movie 2 days ago. And I was promising myself I'm going to show it to all the married women. It was that movie was the husband committed adultery and the wife caught him red-handed. No, he hadn't done it, but he was in like a minute almost doing the thing. The wife caught the husband in the wife's best friend's house. The guy did not come to church. He switched off the phone, and then the wife was just going to the best friend's house and say, I'm looking for my husband. He hasn't been to church, and he's not home at this time. He's not home now. When he got to the best friend's house, he didn't meet the husband. The husband immediately ran inside the bedroom and hid there. So she asked the best friend, have you seen him? I've not seen him since. I'll go and look for him elsewhere now. He said, no problem. As she was walking around, she said, let me try the phone. He was calling the husband's phone. The husband's phone was ringing where the woman was charging the phone. Say, that's my husband's ringing tone. Do you now think I'm with your husband's phone? It's not, not at all. It's not, I've changed my phone and that's my ringing tone. Take and see if it is your own husband. No problem. Okay. She was about walking on, but I saw his car parked outside your house. Say, really? I have not seen him. Maybe he had a fault and he has not called mechanic. The wife said, no problem. So the woman went and did as if she had gone, hid her own car in another corner, and immediately the husband came out, wanted to start the ignition. The woman just came, pew, ta-da, like that, and called the husband, but looked at him and went inside her house. So ordinarily, the man was boiling. The devil came and said, look, what you should do is don't confess, just burn. The earth does the same. Praise the Lord. It's grace. So he went, but you know something? This husband got to the house expecting the wife to blow rage, tantrums and everything. But this woman said, you're welcome, my darling. I made rice, fried rice, and I was thinking maybe you prefer semo. It's available. The man looked, because of fear, said, let me go and take my bath. He didn't believe that that woman can be like that. Gave, genuflected in giving him water. I said, my husband, this is, but I want to talk to you. No, it's not the time to talk. I'm very tired. Yes, sir. He went to sleep. 3 days after, this woman started dreaming that somebody wants to kill him. He woke up. Not because of anything, but that woman's chaste conversation and her conversation, everything won him over back. He knelt down, apologized to her. What am I trying to say? This thing works. They are not films. A woman, the normal thing is, once you find your husband not doing proper thing, the normal thing in you is to banoje, you know, say, laye, you went out, you came back at 5 a.m. You now think I will not be, no. I like it, you know, you blow hot, me so I blow hot. If you continue like that, when two elephants fight, it is the grass that will suffer. But when you, Bible says in 1 Peter that we just read together, when you can do what? You can win over that man back by what? Your words. Your words. Not because you cannot vex, but the word of God is how what you must obey. Do that what the word says. Swallow that pride just right there and then, and so that that man can be won over. May our homes be enviable. Amen. In Jesus. And lastly is character. Lastly is character. Character. Money can buy you a woman, but can't buy you a wife. Money, beauty may get you a man, but can't get you a husband. But one thing that can get you a good relationship and a good home is what? Maintaining a good character. Character is key. I can talk about character from now till, you know, but I'll just pick up one aspect of character that I know is very essential. And that aspect of that character is, as ladies, in that part that really affects relationship is what? The aspect of bitterness and forgiveness. When somebody jilts you as a guy or as a lady, don't hold it against that person. Let go. When you hold it, you are not doing that person you are holding it against harm. You are doing yourself more harm. When you hold that person in your heart, you hinder when other guys come looking or come, you will hold yourself from being blessed or from moving forward because you have held that person. Unforgiveness is something we must run away from. As married men and women, you must learn to forgive easily. Not because that attitude must be emulated in us. Not because we can't vex or we can't do anything. But just because you must have a good and enviable home, you must wear on what? Forgiving spirit. A spirit that forgives and lets go easily, so that you can have an enviable home. May we have an enviable home in Jesus' name. I was talking to a man, a young man, just yesterday. I knew the guy about 5 years ago to be with his fiancée. So I asked him, Lagbaja, how is your wife? He said, he's outside. I said, what's the issue? Because about 5 years ago, that if you see that young man, you will see that lady beside. They are always driving around town together. So he just told me, say yesterday, he said, yes, that she traveled out. In fact, I knew when the lady traveled that it was him. He was the one that spot. I mean, immediately they got married, sent the lady abroad. I think she went for nursing in UK or something. And then from there, when the lady finished the nursing school, according to the guy, he was this man that sent him. He was just telling me yesterday, he was the one that sent her. took over her education from 100 level, 200 level, till she finished school. And then went for a nursing course or something in UK, sponsored that they had gotten married. And then it was some a friend now showed him on Facebook of that lady's wedding in the UK. And then I said, is that, can that be true? And because of that singular act, the man is still bitter till now. And thus is not interested in having a relationship, a marriage. All he wants to do is get back at ladies. Sleep with them, dispose them. Sleep with them, dispose them. Why did I say, bring out this character? If that man had let go, forgiven that lady, he would have been able to establish his own home and move on. But, you know, you sleeping around thinking you are punishing ladies, you are only destroying your own virtue. And not, it's not allowed, it's well over 40, and it's still not settled. It's not a good car, he has a house. But just that fact that the person I invested on, that's the word, invested on, just like that. He said, but then he was swearing, oh, you can see the rage in him. What am I trying to say? In relationship, sometimes, many times, you may be jilted, you may be disappointed. That means the word disappointed. You may be disappointed. But if you must enjoy a good marriage in the future, you must be determined to let go. Just know fully well that that guy that disappointed you, or that lady that disappointed you, he's just like somebody that took away his own carpet. God is bringing your own rug for you. Simple. He took away shame. God is, for your shame, I will give you double. God is giving you double honor. And you know something? If you don't let go, sometimes even that same person can even come back apologizing. But don't let pride remove you from such. I pray the Lord will help us more in Jesus' name. With all that we have said tonight, quickly, the first point is what? The God factor. Number two. Number three. Were we not writing? Number four? Love. Number five? Number six? Number seven? Please, if you can put all of this into use as a single person, by the special grace of God, you will end up in a beautiful marriage in the name of Jesus. And as married men and women, God will beautify our homes much more in the name of Jesus. Let's put all of this into use and ensure that this year, and I decree in the name of Jesus, that this year your home will be beautified the more in the name of Jesus. This year the Lord will settle you maritally in the name of Jesus. If there's anyone here trusting God for a good spouse, a good relationship, this year the Lord will establish you. And if there is anyone involved in any wrong relationship, this year the Lord will separate you in the name of Jesus. The Lord will give you a clear direction. My daughter, this is the way, walk in it. That shall be your portion and testimony in the name of Jesus. And for marriages here that are under any form of influence of the enemy, the Lord is taking over that home in the name of Jesus. Your home shall be an envy of all in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. In Jesus' wonderful name we have prayed.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.